Blog Talk Radio.
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favor, able interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors with which He has been pleased to confer upon us. But also that we may unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and Ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, the year of our Lord, 1789. George Washington.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now. Now. Now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
Shipmates, and welcome to this very special Thanksgiving edition of the program. Glad to have you aboard, if you're aboard. If you're not aboard, well then, well, I can only hope that you find something to be thankful for today. And that is the message. We not only have to be thankful for what we have, but we must always continue to fight for it. Whether it's freedom, or whether it's love. Now, what does that mean, love? You got to fight for love? Well, yeah, sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to prove your love to people. so they can love you back. But you got to love yourself first. And if you don't, well, you got to find something that you do. Everybody's got something inside them that they at least got to like. You know? And that's what this is about, being thankful for what you have. That doesn't mean possessions. Anybody can be thankful for a boat or a car or this or that, blah, blah, blah. It's that stuff that you can't physically touch. That's the stuff that, well, you need to be thankful for. It's that kind of stuff. And if you listen to the very beginning, that was George Washington. That was his first Thanksgiving Day proclamation. November 26, 1789. So this holiday is as American as it can possibly be. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, especially in Hollywood. Well, they don't like Thanksgiving because we were mean to some Indians. Okay, fine. Were we? Yes. That doesn't mean that we can't give thanks for what we have. You don't have to be an American to give thanks. You just have to find something that you're thankful for. This is just our day, this country's day. Other countries have Thanksgiving. There's nothing wrong with picking, you know, just one day out of the year where everybody, the entire country, can come together and just be thankful for what they have. That doesn't mean that you got to protest it because, you know, America is so awful. If you think America is so damn awful, then move. I mean, you know, come on. If you can't find something to be thankful for in this country, well, then you need to find someplace else to be. I'm thankful for a lot of stuff in this country. I'm pissed out. I'm pissed off at a lot of stuff in this country, but I'm still thankful in this country where I still have the right to voice my opinion, let my voice be heard. That's the point. And that's what this show is all about today. If you want to be a part of the program, 646-716-7978. Give us your Thanksgiving stories. Give us your recipes for pumpkin pie. Give us what you are thankful for, or just to talk about anything you want. I'm going to do everything I can not to talk about politics today. I just want to use this day. This is an American day. Whether you like it or not, this is an American day, and it's okay to be American. It's all right. It's okay to be an American. It's okay to celebrate American things. If you lived in Liechtenstein, you would celebrate Liechtensteinian things, whatever the hell that could possibly be. I don't know. I don't know what the hell Liechtenstein is famous for. If they are famous for something, well, good for them. You don't have to be. You could be thankful every day. Point. This is just one day for everybody just to come together, just to, you know, for family, for friends, this and that. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Just one day. Does that mean tomorrow that you have to be ungrateful? No. You should always be thankful for what you have. There's a lot of things that I'm very thankful for, and I do think every day, and I have for a long time. I see people in wheelchairs. That's the first thing I think is the first thing I think of. You know, I'm just thankful that I'm not. I do have a lot of disabilities. I'm in pain constantly. Some mornings I can't get out of bed, but at least I'm thankful that, you know, eventually it goes away and I'm able to stand up. I'm able to walk. I can't run. So I walk, I ride my bike. I try to keep as fluid as I can, but sometimes there's nothing you can do. When you're out, you're out. And if I don't be careful, well, then I get out. As soon as I do mind over matter a lot, but as soon as that mind over matter gets to the point, then I forget that, I don't have any pain at all. Oh, here, let me bend over here. Let me pick this up. Crunch, bump, you
idiot.
I have to find a way to get inside, grab the ice pack. Kane, I got the whole routine down. When my back goes, there's nothing I can do. I got the whole routine down. I know exactly what to do. It's generally a two-week process. Sometimes I can get it done in under 2 weeks, but there's nothing I can do about it. But what I'm thankful for, that after my accident, I didn't get, well, one, killed, but two, seriously injured. And I could have very easily. Oddly enough, because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, that's what really saved me. If I had been wearing a seatbelt, that steering wheel would have been all the way through me. I would have had a lot of internal injuries. I would have been a mess. Instead, I just have to deal with back pain for the rest of my life. I can only sit for so long. I can only stand for so long. Sometimes I can't even lie down. And when I do, it's in so much pain. I've had nights where I could not lie down. I could not get to the bed. I could not contort my body without sending it just into outer space. But I am thankful that I did not have all those internal injuries, and I could have been in a coma. I could have been seriously injured. Really bad. So instead of getting, one big giant shot of really bad, I just got the bad spread out for the rest of my life. I've come to grips with the fact that I'm going to live with this pain for the rest of my life. Really not a whole hell of a lot I can do about it. I guess I could go to some kind of miracle surgeon. But I don't have the money, and of course Obamacare is not going to cover it. They can give me a free abortion, but they can't fix my back. But I'm very thankful that when I see somebody in a wheelchair, I'm thinking to myself, that could have been me. I've always thought that, even as a kid. I don't feel sorry for them, like pity, you know what I mean? But I do. You do have to naturally feel for them. You know what I mean? And that feeling is, sometimes that feeling, maybe seem a little selfish. Yeah, well, kind of it is. You're grateful. And it is kind of selfish. It's kind of a weird combination. But I don't make fun of people. That's one thing, comedians and stuff. I got a lot of comedian friends in the theater and all that, but I just don't like comedians when they make fun of people that can't help the way they are. Like if you're handicapped, you're crippled, you're in a wheelchair, you can't move your legs, you can't move your arms, whatever. All right, you don't make fun of that. Mentally retarded and Down syndrome kids, you don't make fun of those. You don't make fun of the mothers. You don't make fun of that stuff. Now, can this kid, this Down syndrome kid, can this mentally retarded kid, can he find something to be thankful for? I'm pretty sure he can. They still feel. And even if you do have a mentally retarded or Down syndrome child, you can still be grateful that you have that child. Some countries, they just kill it. You gave this child life. Whether it's deformed or whether it's this or whether it's that, you gave it an opportunity. I'm sure that child is very thankful for that. And you could also be thankful that you had the opportunity, and I'm sure that child gives you all kinds of love. That's something to be thankful for. I'm thankful for a lot of things a lot of times. No matter, especially when sometimes when you find out, you're just like, oh, my God. And I get storms of bad. When it rains, it pours. And I get all these bad things just piling up on me at once. It's like, God Almighty, can you separate this stuff? Can you give me a couple of months to get this one problem figured out first before you start, Oh, no, can't do that. Even in those times, you still, what keeps you going is you have to find something. No matter how bad it gets, and it's going to get bad, believe me. I'm sorry, but facts are facts are facts are facts. It's going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. What I'm thankful for is we still have a Constitution. It's got a lot of bricks taken out of it, but it's still intact. It's still standing up. And we as citizens have the right to use that Constitution to our benefit, to fight for our freedom, to preserve it, to keep it, to bring it back in some cases, far too many cases. So we have to be thankful for that, that we still have a Constitution and we can still fix this, no matter how bad it gets. We just have to do it. It has to start with the mind. You want to quit smoking? Well, you can put all the patches in the world you want to. But unless you have it in your mind to quit smoking, you're not going to quit smoking. You have to have it in the mind. You want to get your freedom? You must first think that you are free. And you must demand that you remain free. Otherwise, you're not going to be. So I'm thankful that we still have a Constitution. I'm thankful we still have good people in this world, like what happened with my mother and my grandmother last week. Or just this past week. What was it, Monday, Tuesday, whatever the hell it was. So I'm thankful for that. These people took their time to make sure that Granny was not going to wander off and get herself run over by a car till Mom came back. One of the stock boys took her over to an auto shop. The auto shop lady came over there, hooked the car up, found out what was wrong, fixed it, boom, which was nothing wrong with it. I don't know what the hell happened. Turned the key, boom, started right up. All those people, all for naught. At least they went out of the way and they did something. They did something good to people, neighborly. That's America. It's where it used to be. For the most part, I think America is a very nice nation. We're a very friendly nation. A very generous nation. I wish some of these illegal aliens would be thankful and grateful that we have a nation like this that allows them to protest the government on closed government land. Meanwhile, those men who fought to preserve that freedom for these illegal aliens can't get on the grounds to see the memorial that was built for them. These people want to be citizens. They need to first start respecting us, respecting our country, and respecting our way of life. We have to start respecting our country, our way of life, ourselves. If we don't demand these rules and these regulations and all these constitutional things they have in there, well, then they're not going to get followed. Nobody's going to be grateful because nobody's going to have anything to be grateful for. You might have your life, but what else? Well, I don't think we're going to get to that point, but point is we need to take this day, find something that we are thankful for. Look for the stuff that you can't touch. So if you want to let everybody know what you're thankful for, want to tell yourself, give us a call at the program. Call the captain, 646-716-7978. If you're on your computer, just push that little blue Skype button right there. It'll connect you right up. So we got a lot of stuff planned here today. We got a lot of music, sound clips of past TV shows. We got presidential Thanksgiving messages. We got tributes to our troops overseas who can't come home. I know what it's like to have Thanksgiving dinner in a Persian Gulf. I know what it's like to have it out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I couldn't even tell you what ocean we were on. And I was a navigator at the time. We were out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the furthest point on planet Earth away from any kind of land, that's where we were. And, of course, Thanksgiving would not be complete without Alice's Restaurant. Ha, 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 ha. I still remember that movie when I was a kid. I do like Arlo Guthrie. I know there's a lot of people out there. Oh, wait a minute, he's a left-wing referee. Well, there are certain things that, well, you know, I don't like all these. You can't feel a certain way or think a certain way because it's not in this particular party's handbook. I don't give a damn what's in some stupid handbook. I care what's in my handbook. And if my handbook says it's good, it's good. If my handbook says it's bad, then it's bad. I'm a free thinker. That's the whole point. That's the whole point about being free, is to be a free thinker. I like the way I think. And do I change my mind? I can, yes. Especially when, well, evidence comes to, you know, comes to the surface. You got to recognize the sea monster coming to the surface. Otherwise, well, it's going to gobble your ship, eat you up. So, yeah, I get new evidence coming in. Of course I got to change my mind. I can't disregard the facts. So, in any event, don't worry about it. You don't like it, we'll turn it off. But you want to be thankful for something today? You find something within you and you want to share it with anybody? Or you just want to share it with yourself? Give us a call. 646-716-7978. We've been talking a lot about what are we thankful for. Well, here's an interesting story. I found this morning. This is about a Holocaust survivor who reunites with a man whose family provided him shelter. Very interesting story. It's been 70 years. Imagine that, and they're still alive. They were kids at the time. A New York psychologist shared an emotional reunion Wednesday with a man whose family hid him for more than 2 years in a cramped attic in a Nazi-occupied Poland. Leon Gersten, 79, met with Cesla Polziak, I guess. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Again, I can't pronounce names, any names, so I'm not being offensive, but Cesla Polziak, I guess, a retired Polish factory worker. For the first time in nearly 70 years at JFK Kennedy International Airport. Gersten was 8 at the time, hid with his mother and 3 relatives in the southeastern Poland home, Polziak's Catholic family, and remained there for the duration of the war, relying on food delivered by a 10-year-old Cesla. The last time I saw him when I was around 10 and a half, Gersten told the New York Post before the reunion. After all these years, it's wonderful to be able to reestablish a personal touch and to see someone who went through a lot of these experiences together. So here this guy meets up with this little kid who used to go bring him breadcrumbs, steal breadcrumbs in there. They had the whole family working. I mean, there was a lot of that, actually. There was more of that than you actually think. Not all Germans went along with it. I know that for a fact. My neighbors were those. They had to escape Germany. They were put in a concentration camp. They escaped. Somehow they were in jail. They were in captive somehow. But they did manage to escape, get the family out. They had to learn how to beg through several different languages until they made it all through Europe, until they finally made it to the United States. And they were German. German Germans. I know, because that's all I am, is German. But my family in Germany came over in the early 1900s. They had nothing to do with Hitler. I'm sure some of my relatives were over there at that time. But in any event, they kept it a secret. Just mentioning that there were Jews hiding in the house, whoa, I mean, that would have been catastrophic. Evidently, there was a story here. Where is that? Looking for
So where is that?
They had, evidently, they had the Nazi, oh, there it is, in a close call, Nazi collaborators raided the farm and beat Polsiak's father after suspecting the family of hiding Jews. Still, the family did not give up Gerson and his relatives. So hear this beating from the Nazis. And didn't give them up. Now, what the hell does that say? I think that says a lot. It's hard to find people like that. There are people like that. Are you people like that? I hope to God I am. At least I think that I would be. If I had an opportunity to hide people that were being persecuted, yeah. I'd like to think that anyway. I don't have any evidence in my mind that would suggest otherwise. I hope we never get to that point. I certainly would not want to be at that point. If we get to that point, turn out the lights, the party's over. But, I mean, you talk about something to be thankful for, grateful for, and this guy obviously never forgot it. Here, what does he say? We are giving thanks for being able to be here and being able to practice our own religion and be safe. Simply because he was Jewish, he practiced a different religion. That's why we have that First Amendment. Imagine this country with no freedom of speech, no freedom of press, no freedom of religion. Look at all the countries that have tried it. China, Russia. Eventually, it doesn't work. People say, we're going to believe, we're going to believe. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I don't look at you and go, well, let me see. Well, you look a little Presbyterian to me. Let me write that down and remember that. I don't care what your stupid religion is. It has nothing to do with anything. How are you inside? Are you a jerk? Are you a creep? That's what matters to me. Oh, you're cool? You're nice? You're pleasant? Oh, okay. How you doing? Oh. Imagine that. Imagine hiding in some stranger's home, not knowing if they are really, truly the enemy and they're going to turn you in. And then when the house gets raided, you realize, oh, my God, now here it comes. Well, this guy takes a beating for you? I mean, you can't repay stuff like that. That's stuff you can never repay. You can't repay that. You can't repay that. I just like that story. I mean, that goes to the extreme of being good people. Here, this family, the whole family, the kids and everybody, mama. Got the whole family hiding these people. Got the little 10-year-old kid out there scraping up crumbs and what he could, bringing it in, sneaking it into the family so they can live, so they can survive. You can't pay stuff like that. I mean, that's just something that, I mean, how do you even begin to say thank you? Besides just saying thank you, but I mean, I don't know. All right, let's play some clips here. We got some music. We got all kinds of stuff. I need to stop talking so we can get through some stuff here. So anyway, this is, speaking of Thanksgiving, where is this? This is Johnny Carson. I think this was in 19, I don't know what the hell it was. But I'm a big Johnny Carson fan. I love Johnny Carson. When I was in California in the Navy, I wanted to see him, but you never could get tickets. You never know. You were always at sea, back and forth. You never knew. But I always wanted to see him. I got to see David Letterman. Nah, nothing's like Johnny Carson. But this is Johnny Carson. This is 1977. And here he is reading letters of children on how to bake a turkey. Enjoy.
Okay, now that it's Thanksgiving, we got some letters from some school teachers here.
And they send them to us from time to time, and children are wonderful. This is from a Carol, T-U-M-E-Y, Toomey, I believe it is, kindergarten teacher in East Hampton, Massachusetts. And their project was to ask each of the children how to cook a turkey. That was all she told them. That was their assignment. At the same time, we got a letter from Mrs. Teresa Butler. She says, I'm closing a recipes compiled by Mrs. Elaine Hamilton, director of the Honey Pot, a kindergarten here in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And they also asked the children how they would prepare Thanksgiving dinner, turkey and pumpkin pie. And that's all they told them. Now, kids are wonderful. You could not make these up. How they arrive at some of their answers, I don't know. Here's what Robert said. First, somebody kills a turkey with a gun. Then they package it. Then they put it in the store for people to buy. Unwrap the turkey, put it in a pan. Put a thermometer clock on it. Put this in the oven for about 10 minutes. Take it out, cool it, eat it with gravy. No, Jennifer, just go to the store and buy a turkey. Cook it in the oven until 5 o'clock. Didn't say when she put it in, whether 4 in the morning or eat it until 5 o'clock. Because probably at her house, that's when it ends. Scott D. says, first you soak it in cold water, then I don't know what you do with it. See, I like kids. They don't fake it. Remember in school, if you didn't know, you'd make up something?
Yeah.
But these kids are young enough, they admit it. They don't know. Tim says, go to a turkey shoot a turkey, bring him home, take the feathers off, cook him on the stove for a couple of whiles.
A couple of whiles?
No, isn't that wonderful? A couple of whiles, you know, for a little while. He says, a couple of whiles. Then eat him. Scott A. says, I don't know. I have to go home and ask my mother. Becky says, put stuffing in it, salt and pepper, put it in the oven, cover it with foil, cook it for 10 minutes. I like the meat best. No bones or feathers for this kid. Stephen says, put something on it first. That's all. Put something on it. Then bake it in the oven. I think you cook it for 4 minutes. Robin says, the store man shoots a turkey. Everybody's shooting turkeys. Then they put it in the stove. Mommy buys it. She puts it in the warm water for 10 minutes, then takes it out and cooks it in the oven for 20 minutes. Jeff says, put stuff inside the turkey. Then put the turkey in a big pot, put the pot in the oven, cook for 100 hours. He's making up for all the other kids for the 4 minutes. Kevin says, first you have to catch the turkey. Kill him with a knife. Take the feathers off. Put him in the stove with gravy on top. Cook him for 10 minutes. I like the leg best of all. Scott says, get the turkey to barn. Kill it by bringing it to a factory. They cut the head off. Bring it home, take the feathers out. Now cut it in half. Then cook it in the stove for a couple of minutes. Matthew, first wash the turkey out. Then put it in the oven. When it is done, Daddy cuts it so we can eat it. As Daddy cuts it, my brother Danny says, the wings are moving. Chris Hackler. Here's a 5-year-old. Take a turkey, cut off his head, cut his feet off, get the feathers off, put a cup of potatoes in it, and cook 1 minute in the oven. Here's a 4-year-old now. Take a turkey, fry it. Cut it with a knife. I think it'll be ready. He doesn't even say kill it. Just take it. Christian says, the store will shoot a turkey and the baker man bakes it. Eat it on Thanksgiving Day. And here's a recipe for pumpkin pie by Chris Butler. And he has put pumpkin, sugar, eggs, milk. I guess that's what goes in pumpkin pie, right? Directions, mix it in the pumpkin. Take it out of the oven for 10 minutes. Put it in the oven for 10 minutes. Take it out of the oven and feed it to the dog.
No, I love it. I mean, that's classic. I love the old Johnny Carson. I mean, I couldn't help it. But I've always seen this a long time ago. There's a lot of classic stuff, and I just couldn't help. I had to play this. Thanksgiving. Got to do it. So that's the way that is. So we've got all kinds of stuff in here. We got a Father Knows Best. There's a lot of things that you can be thankful for. Now, I can't remember. I remember this when I was a kid. Something happened with the truck or whatever, but they ended up having to eat hamburgers. Now, Does it really matter, really, what you eat? Do you absolutely, positively have to have turkey? What if you don't have turkey? Think of all the people out here in this country that don't even have nothing. They got nothing to eat. They don't even have top ramen. Those people are always more grateful. The less you have, the more grateful you are. I don't understand that. I guess it puts things into perspective, but it depends on why you're there, how you're there. But the whole day, you just still, no matter what, you have to find things within you, and you can just sit there and think, and you start thinking of stuff that you can't put your finger on and what you're thankful for. I mean, you could go on and on and on and on and on, but you have to find that stuff. And it's interesting to start thinking of, you know, I never realized that I am thankful for that. I've taken it for granted my entire life. Just take a couple of moments and think of, you know, what are you really thankful for? And then it leads to this and then that. But look for the stuff that you can't buy. Can't buy with money. Nothing that you can touch. Of course, I mean food. I mean, you got to be able to touch that. But, I mean, so it really doesn't matter what you eat. They found within them, okay, they had the, you know, the rotten turkey dinner. Remember in Christmas Story? Where they had to go eat Chinese food. Lost the turkey. So it really doesn't matter what the food is. Yes, it's nice to have turkey as tradition. But if you're with your family and you're having a meal, maybe you haven't had one in a long time. It's nice to have a meal that you haven't had one for a long time. I do know what that's like. So let me see if I can find out. Where is that? Where did it go? This is from a long, long, long time ago. I remember watching this a long time ago. It's on black and white. There it is. Here it is. It's just a short little one. So we'll go ahead and we'll play this, and we'll play a little bit of music, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes. So enjoy this, and we'll see you there.
Betty gets to play. Kathy, you sit there. Bud, pull up a chair. I'll get this one for Mommy.
There's nothing like hamburgers for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm starving.
So am I. You know something? This is the happiest, unhappy Thanksgiving I've ever spent. Well, I feel I'd like to say thanks in a rather special way. Oh, Lord, we give thee thanks from the depths of our humble hearts for all the blessings thou hast seen fit to bestow upon us. We thank thee for the food which graces our table, the roof which covers our head. We thank thee for the privilege of living as free men in a country which respects our freedom and our personal rights to worship and think and speak as we choose. We thank thee for making us a family, for giving us sincerity and understanding. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank thee for giving us the greatest gift a family may know, the gift of love for one another. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when I first saw Kid Rock, long time, I don't know what the hell that is. What the hell? What just... Okay. Alrighty then. We got ghosts in here or something. I don't know. Anyway, where the hell was I? Oh, when I first saw Kid Rock, well, I didn't really see him. I heard him. He was like, he did like rap or something. I always thought it was rap. Then I heard him, you know, several years later. And then when he comes out on the football and he does this song, I said, I've heard this song before. I didn't know that was Kid Rock. So I've been a Kid Rock fan ever since. I thought it was, you know, all that rap, but which I can't deal. I'm sorry. I'm just way too white, I guess. I don't mean to, you know, do a white or black thing. I'm just making fun of me, but. I don't get it. It doesn't go through me. It doesn't write. I don't understand. The beat is just too much for me. I can't. It does nothing for me. So here I'm thinking he's all that, but now come to find out, no, he's got good music, man. And he's a good guy. He's one of us. When I found that out, I said, well, hey, you know, I mean, this guy's the whole package now. I don't have to dislike the guy because he raps, which I don't like rap. I could like the guy for other stuff. The whole point is we don't have to hate each other. We can disagree, but we don't have to hate each other. Okay, fine. I got friends that do stuff that I don't like. They do it. They like it. So what the hell difference does it make? Doesn't make anything difference to me. They want to go do it. I don't do it. I don't like it. I'm not a big golfer. My brother golfs like crazy. 4,000 degrees below zero. The whole course is covered in ice. But yet he's up there at 5:30 in the morning to, you know, get his tea time in. That would not be me. I got a lot of other friends that would do that. Golfers are fanatical. Now, does that mean I can't like these people because they do different stuff than I do? Well, they may not like what I do. All right. So anyway, where the hell were we? Oh, where were we? I can't remember where the hell we were at, but it really doesn't matter. We're running close. We got to get a lot of stuff going through here. Let me see if there was another story here today. Oh, here's something to be thankful for. I didn't want to talk about politics, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyhow. CNN and MSNBC lose almost half their viewers in 1 year. Now, I can find something to be thankful for. I'm sure that MSNBC and CNN are going to have a little trouble. But as far as the nation goes, I'm always thinking of the country first. We got to think of the country first. Ourselves, we are part of the country. So we are thinking of ourselves. But we're thinking of ourselves as a collective, as a whole, as one. What is best for everybody. This propagandical messaging that you see on CNN and MSNBC, and I'm not excluding Fox News from doing their fair share of that kind of propagandical crap too. Not near as much as MSNBC or CNN, not even close. It sucks if we have to get propaganda, which we shouldn't have it. I don't like propaganda, especially from the right. I don't like it because then it makes us look like them. All I want are facts. That's all I want. Now, I do like it, listening to other people's opinions and different stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's how we learn things from it. Maybe we form our own opinion by listening to somebody else's opinion. Maybe it's we see something that they didn't see, and now we've formulated our own opinion. You can go any direction you want to, or you can disregard it altogether. But the point is the message, the country has spurts of realizing that, look, this stuff really isn't, working. I mean, they watch MSNBC and CNN, and then they see what reality is, and they're like, wait a minute, the two don't jive. Especially if they watch MSNBC, and then they go to a Tea Party, and they find out, wait a minute, you guys aren't racist. What the hell's the matter with you? Look at this. Mostly women here. I thought you had a war on women. Oh, gee. Imagine that. But I do see signs for this country. I think the American people, I think we are the sign that I'm seeing. The hope that I'm hoping for, the American people are, yeah, we've been waking up, but we're still in bed. We haven't lifted the covers. We're awake. Some of us still have, your eyes closed, but you're still awake. You can hear. You're able to be aware of what's around you. You just got to pull them covers off. Sit on the floor and get in the kitchen and make yourself a cup of coffee and smell it. And it smells good. Get yourself ready in the shower. Shine yourself up. Put your Sunday go to meeting clothes on. Look your best. And greet the friggin' day. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing signs that the people are saying this doesn't work. We have to turn around. There's too many, I wouldn't say important people, but too many people with too much power that are still in office to keep that from happening. Well, that's our job. It's unfortunate we got to wait a year. But it's still our job. And it does look like, MSNBC, just really never really had any viewers anyway. And CNN used to, when they first came out, CNN, that was cable news, man. That was the only place, man. That was it. Well, you got your news? Oh, if you weren't watching CNN, They were always still left. Most of the media is. And you even lean slightly. I mean, you just tilt your head to the right. And, you're a racist, homophobic, misogynist. Well, that's true. That's the way it is. Yeah, that's all we are. Yeah. I don't want leaning left, right, or anything. I want the news. I just want facts. That's all I'm looking for. Give me the Joe Friday, man. Just so anyway, here's a Johnny Cash song. I remember watching this a long time ago as a rerun when I was a kid. I might have even seen it live. But I do remember I've seen it before. And I found it the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm finding some of this stuff that I didn't even remember. I was like, I forgot all about it. Now I'm looking at this going, I remember this as a little kid. You don't remember the whole thing, but you remember that you've seen it. So, in any event, this is Johnny Cash with his Thanksgiving prayer.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day, for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And Thanksgiving Day, for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Thank you, Pat, and good morning, everyone. You know, the Statue of Liberty and this wonderful holiday called Thanksgiving go together naturally because, although as Americans we have many things for which to be thankful, none is more important than our liberty. Liberty, that quality of government, that brightness of mind and spirit for which the Pilgrim Fathers braved the seas and Americans through two centuries have laid down their lives. Today, while religion is suppressed in perhaps one-third of the world, we Americans are free to worship the Almighty as we choose. While entire nations must endure the yoke of tyranny, we are free to speak our minds, to enjoy an unfettered and vigorous press, and to make government abide by the limits we deem just. While millions live behind walls, we remain free to travel throughout the land, to share this precious day with those we love most deeply, the members of our families. My fellow Americans, let us keep this Thanksgiving Day sacred. Let us thank God for the bounty and goodness of our nation. And as a measure of our gratitude, let us rededicate ourselves to the preservation of this, the land of the free, and the home of the brave.
You know, when you listen to the presidents of the past, and then you listen to this president, I mean, when he makes speeches about you know, solemn occasions and stuff, it is so, it's phony. But when you hear Reagan, I mean, he's speaking, you know, for men here. You don't hear that too much from those on the left and from too many politicians. They're always so afraid they're going to offend somebody. It's not offensive to be thankful. It's not offensive to be grateful. It's not offensive to be American. It's not offensive to be thankful that you're American. It's okay to be American. It's okay to look at America and say we're great. That doesn't mean we're cocky. That doesn't mean we're arrogant. That means we're grateful. We're thankful that we live in this country because of what this country offers us. What this country allows us to be, allows us to do. That's not arrogance. That's being grateful. I just want to see a little bit more of that in this country. We still have it. But I want to see a little bit more of it. We need that. Sometimes we have to pat ourselves on the back and say, okay, you know, we're good. It's okay to be good. We like ourselves. We're Americans. And it's okay to be us. It's okay to be you. And believe it or not, even if America, you can, you don't have to be American. You can consider yourself something else. You don't have to call yourself anything. But what we can't do is we can't force other people to live their lives your way. We give out all these freedoms. And it's up to you whether you want to live that way or not. But you have the freedom to live that way. You don't have to believe in anything if you don't want to, or you can believe. You can believe in anything you want. If you don't want to exercise your freedom of speech or your freedom of press, well, then don't. But you have that right where you can, if you so choose. You know, and sometimes, you know, when you ask a politician, especially if you ask a politician, well, what makes America great? And, of course, they've got, you know, they immediately start thinking, okay, well, now I gotta placate to my base. You know, what is my base, what would they want me to hear? Because I got an election coming up. Instead of just talking, telling the truth, saying what's inside. Whether it's misguided or not, it's honesty. And speaking of honesty, here is my good friend Archie Bunker, which was my favorite show growing up as a kid, my favorite T-shirt I ever had. I wore it all summer long one summer. I remember that explicitly. Archie Bunker for president. I understood Archie. And when they call him a bigot, I don't like that. You know, a bigot, he's not really a bigot. Because Archie did not have a mean heart. That makes a bigot. A bigot has to have a mean heart. Archie didn't have a mean heart. He just had a very, well, I guess the word is, a little ignorant. Certain things that he didn't know. A lot of stuff that he didn't know. And therefore, he is what he is. So this is what makes America great. By Archie Bunker.
An American history lesson. You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty. Standing there in the harbor with her torch on high, screaming out to all the nations of the world, send me your poor, your deadbeats, your filthy. And all the nations sent them in here. They come swarming in like ants. Your Spanish PRs from the Caribbean. Your Japs, your Chinamen, your Crouch and your Hebes, and your Lady Fair. Come in here, and they're all free to live in their own separate sections. Where they feel safe, and they bust your head if you go in there. That's what makes America great, buddy.
You know, there is a lot of truth in what he said there. Believe it or not, Archie Bunker was more honest than Meathead. Archie Bunker was honest. Meathead wasn't honest. Well, he might have been honest to him, you know. He got himself to believe that he was honest. But Meathead just believed in wouldn't say a fantasy, but he was fighting a lot of those on the left, a lot of those kinds of people They fight reality. They like to argue with it. They don't believe in the reality. They're like, no, I don't like that reality, so I'm going to fight it. Well, Archie Bunker was able to recognize it and realize it, what it is. Even though he spoke in very crude Brooklynese or Queensese, he was telling the truth. Yeah, we do welcome you. Bring in your poor. Bring in your this. Bring in your that. You're filthy. That is what makes this country great. We're the only country that allows anybody in the world to live here. Can you do that in, say, Iran? Can't do it in Mexico. I'm sure Canada would find a way to put the kibosh on that. But America? But yeah, we're such a mean country. We're so awful. We got a racist and a hateful constitution. Anybody gets a hurricane or a flood or an earthquake or a volcano, who's the first country people call? Well, they don't have to call us because we're already there. But yet we're so hateful. We're an awful country. We do welcome the poor and the filthy. It's unfortunate, though, he is also right about, yeah, everybody's got to live in their own little group, and if you go into the wrong area, well, then you get beat. Everybody talks about integration, but everybody's segregated. All the mucky mucks live over here. Black people live over here. All the white people, they live over here. All the Chinese area, they live over here. The Koreans over here. All the Spanish and Mexican and whatever, they live over here. Well, you can't force it. That's number one. You have to naturally allow it to happen. You force it, it's going to be chaos. You can't legislate behavior. You just can't do it. Society needs to take care of it itself. Let it naturally do it. Most people don't care. So when somebody does move in the neighborhood, nobody says anything. Okay, fine. But people still do segregate themselves. They're the ones who speak about integration the loudest. Oh, no. All the Kennedys, oh, yeah, black people, yeah. Well, he didn't have any black people living in his neighborhood, Edward Kennedy. Might have had a few of them as servants, but he certainly didn't have them living in his neighborhood. They're all for civil rights. No, they're all for votes. Civil rights has nothing to do with it. Civil rights is just a vehicle to get those votes. Completely disrespects civil rights as a whole. All civil rights. Anyway, I want to switch gears here. Well, before I switch gears here, I want to finish this off of what Archie Bunker was talking about. You got we welcome the rich and the poor and the filthy. We welcome this and we welcome that. Well, this is our land and this is your land. This is our land, all of our land together. This is ours. We're not so much of a race as we are. We're a nation. We're American. There is no race to being American. Being American is a way of life. It's a mindset. It's freedom. That's what being American is to be free. Free to think, free to act, free to believe, free to feel. Any way that you feel. Not how somebody else tells you to feel, but how you feel. My hope is that this country, and I do like this song, And this is Woody Guthrie. It's actually Arlo Guthrie singing his father's song. This is This Land Is Your Land. We all sang it when we were kids. But I guess if I had a dream, so to speak, and I understood what Martin Luther King was talking about. He is talking about where we do become completely colorblind. But we're still, I don't know if we're so much colorblind, but we're... socially blind, meaning if you don't fit into this social group, well, then you can't come in. You see that with politics. You see it with everything. I wish we can get away from that. We're not a race. We don't need to be a race. We're just a nation of people. Just a nation. You can be any flavor you want. You're people. If you're people, you can be a citizen in this country. That's what makes America great. That's what this country is. It's not only your land, but it's my land. But most importantly, it is our
land. An incredible event is taking place this year. One that we never dreamed of could happen, and that is that my dad is being turned into a postage stamp. I wish there was some way I could tell him that, just to see the expression on his face. Because for a man that fought almost his entire life against being respectable, this comes as a final and stunning defeat. I've had to actually go back and start rethinking those tunes that we all used to sing that, well, you sung so much that you wondered if it began to lose its meaning or something like that. And well, this is one of them. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled, and I've followed my footsteps through the sparkling sands of your diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. Sun comes shining, and I went strolling. The wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling. The fog was lifting, the voice was chanting. This land was made for you and me. Help me out. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land.
una promesa eres tú, eres tú, como una mañana de verano, como una sonrisa eres tú, eres tú, así, así, eres tú. Toda mi esperanza eres tú, eres tú, como lluvia fresca en mis manos, como fuerte brisa eres tú.
I just like the song. That's why I played it. If you speak Spanish, which I think it's Spanish, maybe it's Italian, I don't know. Sounds Spanish to me. I don't know. Hopefully it's not a dirty song. I don't know. Maybe it's porn. I don't know. But I just like the song. I like the melody. I just like it. Seems like an inspirational song. I have no idea what the hell it says, but I liked it, so I played it. Anyway, I want to switch a little gears here now and talk about the soldiers here. We can't forget the soldiers. Like I said, I know what it's like to be out there in the Persian Gulf Christmas. I know what it's like to be out in the middle of absolutely nowhere for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. Actually, one Christmas, we celebrated Christmas, but we actually crossed the international dateline where we went from the 24th to the 26th at midnight, and we completely bypassed Christmas altogether. And it was kind of fun. It was a joke, but we still celebrated Christmas. It was kind of funny. It was fun, you know. So being out there, I do know what it's like being out in the middle of absolutely nowhere for Thanksgiving, for holidays, and stuff like that. They do keep you kind of busy, and you do contemplate a little bit on what it is that you're actually thankful for. You can find something that you're thankful for. Yeah, it's not the same, but when you believe in the mission that you're doing, you don't really recognize it. It's almost like it's okay, but even though they do have their family, they got their kids, they would love to see them, So there is that strain. There is that you do have. So I do know what it's like, you know, with that. And we got to recognize the fact that these guys are over there. Whether you believe in what they're doing or not, they're doing a dirty job. Okay? They're doing your dirty work. So you may not like what they're doing over there, but don't disrespect them. They're doing your friggin' dirty work. And you should be grateful and you should be thankful for these guys. We don't hear that from this president, but we do hear from presidents in the past. We do hear from ourselves. Most Americans do look at the soldiers. They do respect them. I'd like to think that way. But you can never forget them. You don't leave out certain people that are doing certain jobs that you wouldn't do, you couldn't do, and you can't do. And you'd crap your pants if you did do. So you got to be very grateful and very thankful for these guys. So let's listen to a real president talk about the soldiers. Now, I can't remember what year this was, but this is a real president, his take on the soldiers.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Wavy gravy was right. Wavy said, if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. I look back on some of those times much more fondly than I remember being in them. Remember a couple of things. Remember there was always something else, some new crisis, some another movement or something, and some new issue. A million things all going on at once, and everybody had to choose up sides, it seemed like, on everything. And I came out of that whole time thinking I'd only met two different kinds of people. There's people that give a damn and people that don't. And the truth was, you could find both of those kinds of people on every side of every issue. And in the long run, I thought you might even have more in common with people that care about stuff than you do with people who side with you on an issue or two as they're going through time. Which is a long way of saying I made some friends that I didn't expect to make over all these years, and some of them are here tonight, some of them I actually know. So here's a song for some friends. Like a lot of folk songs, this one is not just overdue, but already outdated. Wrote it before the war in the Gulf was getting thought about. But I think the feeling holds up and goes something like this.
In a strange and foreign land, a soldier packs his memories as he leaves Afghanistan. Back home, they don't know too much. There's just no way to tell. I guess you had to be there for to know.
That it saved from Vietnam.
care back then when he sold you. The night is coming quickly, and the stars are on their way. As I stare into the evening, looking for the words to say, and I saw the lonely soldier, just a boy that's far from home. And I thought that I was just like him, but upon the earth I roam.
You know, a lot of us, and I do the same thing. Yeah, we see these stories of, you know, soldiers making it home and, you know, a wife and a kid on the ball field and all that. Yeah, makes it nice and everybody stands up and cheers. But do you really thank them? Do you feel that inside? I mean, you really thought down and thought, you know, there's some guy sitting in a foxhole right now, eating some disgusting ration out of a can that is just on the verge of being ranted. Gunfire over their heads. I mean, really, really think about that. And then when they do come home, Oh, yeah, great, you're great, oh, thank you for your service, yeah. But do you really thank them inside, or are you just making a show? Yeah, thanks, yeah. Think about it. Think about what their job is. Before you can be thankful, you have to understand what their job is. What are they really doing? Once you understand what these guys are really doing, what they're putting their lives through, once you think about it and understand what they're doing, then you can be grateful. Then you can be thankful. But just saying thank you for your service, those are words. Anybody can say them. But can you feel them? That's what we have to be thankful today. We got to be thankful for a lot of stuff, everything. If you're thankful for it, you're thankful for it. You can be thankful for more than one thing. You have to. We got to be thankful for a lot of stuff. Even though we're getting stuff taken away from us, what we have to be thankful for the stuff that we have and the stuff that we can get if we get our act together, if we come together, if we are together. So in any event, I'm going to end the show here. I want to thank all of you if you were listening. Too bad none of you called, but that's all right. As long as you find something within you that you are thankful for on this day, and you do that every day, come tomorrow, you're out there running over people to get that G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip and the Cabbage Patch dolls or whatever the hell they're selling these days. I have no idea what the latest and greatest thing is. But while you're piling over everybody, get your televisions and your laptops, your iPads and all this other crap, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful and grateful for what you have before you start piling on more crap, which you're probably not even thankful or grateful for. It's just another item, a disposable item. So in any event, I want to end the show here today. Promised, with Alice's Restaurant. I've known this song for a long time. It's, yes, it is about, you know, about the draft and Vietnam War. I don't believe that not liking the war means you don't have to dislike the soldier. It's not the soldier that a lot of these people, a lot of people that I know, that they were really upset. There was a few that made everybody look bad. But it wasn't against the soldier. It was against the politician. It was against the banker. That war was fought to make money for no other reason. But the guys that had to do that dirty work, those are guys you got to be. Guys are going to do that. That shows dedication to this country. That is a patriot. That is an American right there. You see a vet, you shake their hand. And they deserve it. You don't have to like what those politicians are making these guys do. But you must respect and honor that man who's doing that job. So in any event, everybody have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye.
Information about it. I said, yes, sir, around, Mr. Ruby. Cannot tell a lie, I put that envelope under that garbage. But after talking to Opie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, then we finally arrived at the truth of the matter, and Opie said we had to go down and pick up the garbage. We also had to go down and talk to him at the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one of two things that Opie could have done at the police officer station, and the first thing was he could have given us the medal for being so brave and honest over the telephone, which wasn't very likely. We didn't expect it. And of course, the other possibility was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen, drive, and garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that, well, we hadn't counted on. And we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. I said, oh, wait. I'll bet I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car. We sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. Friends, I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this was happening. They got three stop signs, two police officers, and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there were five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster tire tracks, footprints, dog smelling prints. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, northwest corner to southwest corner. That's not to mention the aerial photography. It was after the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Opie said he was going to put us in a cell. He said, kid, I'm going to put you in a cell. Give me your wallet and your belt. I said, Opie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell. What do you want my belt for? He said, kid, we don't want any hangings. I said, Opie, did you think I was going to hang myself for considering? Opie said he was making sure, friends, Opie was. Well, he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. Took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the row, have an escape and get away. Opie was making sure, all right. And it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice, Mrs. Delp saw about Alice. She'd come by and with a few nasty words to Opie on the side, she bailed us out of jail, and we went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Opie come in with a 27, 8x10 tumbler and glossy pictures with the circles, barrels, and the paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. He sat down. A man come in. He said, all right. And we sit up. And Opie sit up with the 27, 8x10 tumbler and glossy pictures with the circles and arrows, and the judge walked in with a D&I dog. Opie looked at the C&I dog, then at the 27, 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows, and looked at the C&I dog, and Opie began to cry. Opie came to the realization that this was a typical case of American blind justice. No way the judge was going to look at the 27, 8x10 colored glossy. Well, it didn't matter, because we was fined $25 each. We had to pick up the garbage in the snow. infected, dejected, infected, neglected, and selected. And I remember I had to go down there one morning a long time ago for a physical examination. So I got good and drunk the night before, because I wanted to look my best when I went in that morning. I mean, I wanted to look like, I wanted to feel like all American kids. When I went in that morning, I was hung down, I was worked down, I was hung up, I was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly looking things. I walked in, I sat down. Give me a piece of paper, city kid. See the psychiatrist, room 604. I went over there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins and money, see dead bird bodies, I mean kill, kill. And I started jumping up and down, give him a kill, kill. And he started jumping up and down with me, we was both jumping up and down, give him a kill, 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 kill. So the sergeant come over, paid the medal off, and sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Get more injections, inspections, all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me. It was in there. And I was there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. Proceeded through until I finally come to see the very last man. I walked up, I said, what do you want to see me about? I said, kid, we only have one more question. Have you ever been arrested? I told him the story of the Alice's restaurant, had the music, five-part harmony, full orchestration, all kinds of phenomena. He stopped me there and said, kid, did you go to court?
There on the other side of that piece of paper, in the middle of the other side, You've got to learn to sing louder.